I bet that got your attention. That was the soundtrack from the famous murder scene in the 1960s Hitchcock horror film Psycho, with some other unpleasant sounds too. And they probably triggered a reaction in you. Stop that noise, for starters. They're almost impossible for us to ignore. Now, Dan Blumstein, Professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California, Los Angeles, has found that sounds like that have something in common. Irregular or non-linear sounds are much more likely to trigger emotional responses. And he's found that Hollywood filmmakers are capitalizing on this and using chaotic, unpredictable sounds to evoke particular emotions in us. And to prove it, he's assessed screams and soundtracks from more than 100 movies. He started by telling me where he got the idea for his study.
I was catching baby marmots, which are really cute, and this baby marmot gave this horrific scream. And I wanted to drop it. And I said, that's interesting. I've never heard this before. And then we continued doing this, and I recorded these screams for a number of years and sat down and started analyzing them and discovered that these screams are really noisy and are difficult to sort of analyze and quantify using traditional techniques to quantify sounds because they have noise and other what are referred to as nonlinearities in them. Nonlinearities are when systems sort of break down. And it turns out that when you look at, for an example, of a system breaking down, you can think of blowing a horn and blowing it, and it gets louder and louder and louder, and suddenly it gets noisy and it sort of becomes chaotic and unpredictable. Or you can imagine turning up your stereo to a point where at some point it becomes chaotic, noisy, and unpredictable. It seems that these baby marmots, when they were screaming, were doing similar sorts of things. Then I started reading about screams. Darwin wrote about screaming animals and said this is, you know, a call to mothers for their attention. And baby cries.
And all these sounds that you've just mentioned, baby cries as well, are noises that we find unpleasant.
Unpleasant, and they attract our attention. And when I started looking at other cases where people have been writing about nonlinearities, dog barks. So there's a, you know, there's a normal dog bark, and then there's a really upset dog barks. Piglet squeals. You know, there's a normal piglet squeal, and then there's a really upset piglet squeal. All of these are characterized by noise and other nonlinearities. And it seems that if they're so evocative to us, maybe there's a general principle, about, in mammals at least. So maybe, you know, this should apply to films and film music and film scores. Now, there's a large literature on music and how emotions are communicated in music and how emotions are communicated in film. But no one had ever really looked at this nonlinearity hypothesis that I was sort of formalizing and calling out. So we started looking at films.
You put that hypothesis out there in public and had to follow through.
And Peter Kay, who is a film score composer and now studies how emotions are communicated in music and film, said, I think you're right. And I said, do you want to collaborate? And he said, sure. So we did.
How did you actually go about doing it? How many movies did you have to look at?
I think we looked about 102. We came up with a bunch of films and then got them and looked for iconographic scenes in these films and then struggled for a long time to figure out an objective way to describe what's going on. A film soundtrack is very complex. It's not just music. It's music. It's background noise. It's sound effects, Foley. And there's also, in many cases, spoken word. So we then said, okay, well, how can we look for what would be analogous to a scream, an overblown system, and other sorts of nonlinear attributes in this highly constructed artificial system? So we came up with a scoring algorithm and a way to begin scoring these things, and then went through them, and this is what came out.
Can you give us some examples of the types of movies where you'd see these non-linear sounds, these particularly horrible sounds?
Psycho is just sort of the best example of everything we're illustrating. In Psycho, the shower scene, there is the screaming, there's the harsh music, there's also a fast beat, and the amplitude is loud. But both in the music and in the sound effects, you have all sorts of non-linearities. And the scream... The first scream that the actress gave was a real scream. It was filled with noise. Apparently, Hitchcock, A, wasn't telling her what to expect, and B, turned down the water from hot to cold. So she really screamed when the murderer came in with the knife.
And what about some other examples where you've seen this same effect?
Jaws, compelling scenes in Jaws are kind of scary. They're filled with noise. There's noisy music. There's noise in the sound effects. King Kong has noise in it. But other sorts of sad dramatic films have other forms of nonlinearities in them. So what we discovered is that noise is enhanced in horror films, but abrupt frequency changes, shifting from one note to another note quickly, is enhanced in sad dramatic films. I cry at movies, and maybe this is the basis for this. Now, what's interesting is the noisiness sort of tracks back to my studies of animals. I know what commonly scares animals, but I've never seen a marmot cry. So I don't know why we respond a certain way. But nonetheless, these things that we would describe as non-linearities, these unpredictable sounds, seemingly are associated with different genre of films and different emotional scenes, if you will.
And what's actually going on? Is this somehow tapping into our fear of these noises in the same way that somebody who's trying to prey on a marmot and picks it up is hopefully scared off by the noise, the scream that it makes?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It seems that this is sort of tapping into our inner marmot, if you will, but it seems to be a common mammalian response. Now, really interestingly, the literature on why animals may give these fear screams could be to get the predator to drop it. It could be sort of tapping into the predator's own sense of paternal or maternal care. It also could be to call in others, other predators, so they start fighting over the prey and the prey gets to escape.
Dan Blumstein there, ending this week's Science in Action. Thank you to producer Fiona Roberts, who says that she is definitely in touch with her inner marmot.